Hey friends, welcome to Real Stories of Life with God, a podcast with a pretty explanatory title, because that's what we're here for. A conversation with real people about their unique life with God. I'm your host, Chelsea Eubank, and I'm so glad you're here. Let's jump into today's episode.
So thank you for talking to me. It's great.
Thank you for talking to me.
Tell us a little bit about you.
36 years old. I lived in or near Harlem, Georgia, for most of my life. Married to Jessica since 2007. We have two kids. Hadley's 12. Hayes is 8. Enjoy outdoor stuff. Enjoy sports stuff, particularly Braves, Georgia Bulldogs. enjoy music. Enjoy being involved at our church, Kaioke. That's a decent start.
Yeah, that's a great start. Okay, two of my questions originated in Matthew 22, so I'm going to read that.
Okay.
Jesus is asked which commandment in the law was the greatest, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and the second, love your neighbor as yourself. So my first question is, what currently stirs your love for God?
So this sounds super like a Sunday school answer, I know, but let me explain it, but what currently and probably always will stir my love for God is the study of His Word. And I know that's like the cookie cutter deal. But so, and just recently I was listening to John MacArthur talk about something semi-related to this. And he described how like the serious study of God's Word is a sanctifying, like cleansing, purifying thing in the life of a believer. And I absolutely believe that. And I feel like I've seen that time and again in my life. And it reminded me, like hearing him use those words reminded me when Jessica and I got married, one of the songs we had in our wedding was a song by Shannon Shane called Wash Me in the Water of the Word. And they wrote it almost straight out of Ephesians 5, which says that we're to be washed and purified and cleansed by the Word of God. And so it's kind of this, I guess, ongoing theme in my life a little bit. And just example after example of ways I've seen, like when I buckle down, like if it's my turn to teach Sunday morning discipleship group, that is really helpful for me and needed for me. So that's, I would say that's one huge one. And I'll give you another one. It's music. And it's not, I mean, there are times where I'm riding down the road and I'm listening to something really helpful, Shane and Shane or whatever, that's great. But more than that, I would say like congregational singing where the congregation can be heard clearly is super encouraging and super stirring for me. I was at a conference recently and we were in a big auditorium as a sanctuary with really high ceilings, and it was fairly well attended. So a few hundred people, and the guy that was leading had us sing the doxology totally unaccompanied, like just voices by ourselves. And it was just incredibly powerful and kind of stirring. And there's just this sense in which, like when we sing together, we're kind of propping each other up and we're kind of pushing these truths toward each other. And so that's something I would say is just a way that God stirs in my heart, love for Himself and affections for Himself. And yeah.
And you lead worship a good bit.
I do. The moments that are most meaningful, you know, most stirring, whatever, even being on a platform, is still when you can hear the congregation singing back. And it's kind of this, you know, just it's congregational worship. It's kind of what you're aiming for.
Okay. Is there anything that currently stifles your love for God?
Yeah. Just to boil it down to a word, I would use the word apathy. Apathy toward the things of God, apathy toward the church, like the people of the church is a struggle for me sometimes. Apathy toward spending time in God's Word. As much as I, like a few minutes ago, gave you an answer about how important that is for me, there's still this apathetic, just sinful nature that pops up that just is lazy and apathetic. I'm apathetic towards singing, towards even music sometimes. Like even the things I love the most about what it means to follow Christ and to make Him known, those things I can also be really apathetic towards them. And sort of along the same lines, like I can feel times where I'm almost lulled to sleep, lulled to like a spiritual sleep by the things of the world, even the good things of the world, things that I enjoy, things that aren't evil necessarily, but that are pursuits that sometimes tend to get out of order a bit. And my heart can wander. Like I was thinking about this question and thinking about how my heart wanders, and I was reminded of Come Now, Fountain of Every Blessing. Mm-hmm. I think it's verse 2 or maybe 3. We have it in our house hanging up somewhere. It says, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee." That's the phrase that we have hanging up somewhere. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Mm-hmm. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." So I love just tying this back to music, like the ability to just kind of confess that and recognize that tendency in myself, just that apathy and sort of wandering and sort of distracting, almost being lulled to sleep even by good things, is how I think would be my answer towards what stifles love for God.
Yeah. I can absolutely relate to that. And it's kind of, even though it's the truth, I almost shock myself sometimes. I'm like, because when you taste and see goodness of God, you're like, how could I ever go? How could I ever choose anything not the Lord? Mm-hmm. You know, how could I ever do that? And it's so easy.
It's so, like, it's out of nowhere for me too. At least like I'll have, so I spend a lot of time in my truck for work, and there's some mornings where all I want to do is listen to R.C. Sproul podcast or a John Piper sermon or whatever. And like, I can't get enough of that for like two mornings. And then the next two mornings, it's like, I almost have to force myself to try to listen or think of anything spiritually engaging or spiritually encouraging for no reason at all. It's just like,
yeah. You know what I thought about one time? I don't know if this was the Lord or not, but I remember feeling like, if I feel like I need a break from spiritual things, I'm probably thinking about it wrongly. You know, like, I'm probably making them too hard. Mm-hmm. If I feel like Netflix is easier than praying or sitting still or reading something. And I think that's probably relevant to me because I am an earner, performer, pleaser. So I want to be doing it right. Because I feel like a lot of, you know, God's favor for me or presence for me comes when I'm doing the right things. Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing the wrong things, which aren't actually sinful, you know, or not choosing the right thing, I feel distance from him that's not really there. But I guess I was reminded that my relationship with him can be a little bit simpler. Because I like the example that you just used with the podcast and stuff. I think a lot of times I'm like, I just don't have the brain power for that. I'm like, then just sit and tell him what's on your mind. Mm-hmm. You can still cultivate intimacy with him without needing all the content, without needing all the traditional things, the habits or whatever. But it was just that one question. He said, if you need a break from spiritual things, then maybe you're putting the wrong emphasis on you and not the Lord. And so, because that's a lot of that, then I'm driven by that apathy a little bit because it just, I'm too tired for it or something. I'm like, yeah, but he's real rest. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to say no to true rest for some like pseudo rest. You know, and you say that, and when you say it right now, I'm like, no, I would never, that doesn't make any sense. I do it all day, every day, some days. Yeah. Anyway, part of me wants to say it's probably just a walking with him. But do you have any habits or rhythms that tend to, like when you get in days like that or weeks like that, is there something that usually will turn or refresh you or rejuvenate? You know, like there's scripture or songs. Like I know you love Shane and Shane. So that's usually it, some of that for me. Mm-hmm. Like almost re-inviting me into what I really want or reminding me of that goodness or of that delight in knowing him that a lot of times I just don't choose because other things are easier. Should know if you had any verses that especially impact you or habits or anything.
You kind of like hand fed me that answer, but I can think of times where it's just an apathetic type week and I'm shuffling through songs in my truck and like Psalm 16 comes on by Shane and Shane where they sing literally the words of Psalm 16 that in your presence there is fullness of joy and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And it's like, Do I believe that or do I not believe that? So that's a really practical, simple, easy example of that does help jar kind of my mind and heart back toward the things of God sometimes, even in the midst of a really, you know, frustrating or apathetic or just kind of ignorant type week where I'm just kind of shut down spiritually or dry feeling or whatever. And like, so last night, for the first time in some number of days that I don't want to say on this podcast, we read the Bible together as a family. And that's one thing I tend to make way too complicated, like you were talking about a few minutes ago. And Jessica will have to stop me sometimes and be like, stop asking our kids so many questions. Just read the Bible. And so, but I, last night at dinner, kind of confessed to our family around the table, like, I feel spiritually dry. We need to make sure we read the Bible together tonight. Just not that that's necessarily magic or that there's a switch that gets flipped and all that dryness goes away and everything's beautiful and great and glorious all in one moment. That doesn't happen. But it's just kind of like trying to commit ourselves to these patterns and disciplines of grace that God's given, the means he's given for us to be sanctified.
Do you think that we also sometimes tend to, I'm speaking from personal experience, sometimes I feel like I fall into a category of pursuing God and loving God for what he gives me, like feelings of peace or feelings of joy or feelings of closeness. So then when I'm not feeling that or when I'm too tired to do it, that faithfulness muscle tends to weaken for lack of use. But I think I'm doing some of the things for the feeling that I get when I do them, not because he's God and I love him. You know, so I wonder if choosing other things is sometimes because I'm afraid that if I come and he doesn't show up, then I'm going to feel like it was not helpful or productive. But it still did something for my soul that I came and met, even if he did not say something. Or if I didn't feel at peace, or I didn't feel this great applicable moment, you know, from what I read. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, anyway, I think sometimes, like, we have to be disciplined in certain things until they become a delight. And that doesn't happen quickly. It makes me think of Psalm 13, another song that Shane have put to music about the idea of waiting for the Lord. Like, how long will you withhold from me? Or how long will you forget me, I think is what the psalm says. Because there's just like this ongoing feeling of detachment and dryness. That's a real thing.
Yeah. Okay. Fill in the blank. The truth that God is blank means a lot to you because blank.
All right. Fill in the blank. The truth that God is provident means a lot to me because, and I'm going to expand on this, but it is applicable in every circumstance if I believe it. And so I thought of a few things in attempting to answer that question. And most notably, I'm reading a book right now by John Piper that's called Providence. And one of the things I really love about his style of writing and speaking in general is he's not very obscure. He likes to be clear. And so he really starts out by, like, defining providence. He spends a whole chapter doing that. And kind of the short definition he has is that it is God's sovereignty with purpose. And so, like, we hear the word sovereignty, and I don't have any problem with the word sovereignty. I like the word sovereignty. But it is kind of, or at least perceived as, a little bit of like a cold and distant word sometimes, where providence is a little warmer and a little nearer. So he goes on to define providence as the act of purposefully providing for or sustaining and governing the whole world, which I think is a great definition just on its face. But where, and like I said, where sovereignty feels cold and distant, providence kind of gives us that extra sense of care and precision and purpose with which God governs everything. And like, sometimes I just need to ask myself, like, do I really believe that God is God? I mean, what do we even mean when we say God if we don't mean someone who is provident over every situation and circumstance that we encounter? Like the words of It Is Well, the hymn Horatio Spafford, is, he loses most of his family as he's passing over the place where their ship sank. He writes, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well as well as my soul. And so that's like, that's believing in the providence of God, that he is sovereignly purposeful in every situation, in every circumstance, that there's no accidents, there's no chance. Mm-hmm. Like the word chance is just our, that's us admitting that we don't understand why something happens. Mm-hmm. It's not, like chance is not a force, it's not a power. it can't do anything. It's just the way we explain what we don't understand. And so if I can remember that and believe that, then there's really no circumstance, no situation that I can encounter that can ruin me or that can shake me. I thought of too, like I wrote this down earlier thinking about this question. There's a Heidelberg Catechism, which I like to refer to a lot, says the same thing about providence, and it says it this way. It says, "He still upholds heaven and earth with all creatures and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand." And we studied recently in Hebrews chapter 1, which says that Christ is the radiance of the glory of God. He's the exact representation of his nature. And it says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. And when we studied that together in our Sunday morning group, one of the things we saw was that the word there upholds doesn't just mean like propped up or like I'm keeping this from falling or, you know, I'm doing all I can, but it actually means that, like, the Greek word that's used there means that he's like conveying to a particular end all things, according to Hebrews 1. So there's just a ton of comfort in that, a ton of certainty in that. If we can believe that, if I can convince myself to believe in the providence of God, then there's really nothing that can shake me or frustrate me or depress me or crush my spirit, etc. And it's not that those emotions don't exist, and it's not that those things don't happen, that there's not difficult circumstances to kind of work through, but it's just like in those moments, it's all the more important for me, to believe that God is provident over the situation, however minor or major it may be. That's where my mind is lately on that.
That's good. Yeah. I listened to a lot of Elizabeth Elliot, and she, lost first husband, second husband, crazy. Major just life testimony, I guess, of hard circumstances, challenging circumstances. And she says a lot about finding a lot of confidence in the nature of God and the character of God and the person of God, not what he gives or takes, not what he does or does not do, or give or not give. And that's, I guess it takes a lot more. It's like the faith, the walk by faith, not by sight situation, not walk by faith, not by what I feel or not what happens to me or not what doesn't happen for me. And it's very challenging, but also rich in a way and stable in a way to have something that does not change.
Right.
I think that's probably the attribute of God that means the most to me is his immutability, his unchanging nature.
That's a good one.
It's like he's always the same no matter what happens, which, yeah.
So unlike us. Like.
Yeah. And maybe that's part of why the grace commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, love your neighbor as yourself. What it takes in that moment to believe in his personhood over what you're seeing is knowing his knowing him, like an experiential knowledge. He's like, spend time with me because it's the only way you're going to be able to trust me and not what you do, what you're experiencing or what I'm allowing to happen. Really helpful, encouraging.
Yeah, and I mean, you said, to remember the unchanging nature of God, and then just to remember, too, that maybe we have more news media and more sources for media than we've probably ever had in history, but the challenges that our day faces aren't new. Nothing new under the sun. So I kind of rest in that, too.
And maybe part of it with the providence and eternal perspective. Also, it's like he's providential what's happening to me today, but I was not made for just today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was not made for this life.
Right.
Not, what's the right phrase that? I was created for this life, but, that was not the only thing.
It's not the end.
Right. This is not the culmination of all the things.
Right. And trying to, because within that, It's like step one is I have to understand the providence of God, but two, I have to believe that he's good.
Yes. And Yeah.
Like whatever mm-hmm. he sends. So maybe I can get to a place where I understand that whatever comes to me is sent providentially mm-hmm. of God. Like,
Okay. Our last question is, what is something you're looking forward to?
I'll give you two answers. One kind of spiritual one and one not so spiritual one. So I'm looking forward kind of in the immediate future. We have a night of hymn singing with our church this Sunday night, which is at our old building, which is super old and super cool. And I was actually able to meet this morning to kind of go over the list of hymns, and they're just really rich and really good. And there'll be some prayer and kind of responsive reading stuff mixed in. So I'm looking forward to that kind of in the immediate. And then two, we have got a couple trips planned for the end of the year. Mm-hmm. One with the family. We're going out of town right before Christmas to Williamsburg, Virginia to do that whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. And then right after Christmas, I get to go on a hunting trip. So nice. I'm looking forward to this thing.
Yeah, traveling. Yeah,
all of them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Listening friends, it means a lot that you added us to your day today. Thank you so much. Wherever you find yourself on your journey with Jesus, I hope you finished this episode with your faith cheered, refreshed, or strengthened. Until next time.